Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. This week's iTunes review is brought to you by ML Martell. She writes, 5 stars, Kim is more than just knowledgeable in just health and fitness. She is supportive, reassuring, and on the level. She gives it to you straight, just the way most people need it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate that review. And you too can review Fit Girl Magic Podcast. Just go to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to this show and just leave me a 5-star review. I love them. I take them to heart. I just want to make sure that I'm bringing you the best stuff. So thank you so much for all of you who have left me a review so far. I can't wait to highlight you.
Magic makers, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I reconnected with a fabulous woman, Kelly Tyen. And let me just tell you about her. She's just a rock star. I met her competing and we just stayed friends. And over the last, I'd say several years, she has faced, let's just call it what it is, a shitstorm of life. And she just stood up to it like a superhero. And I know many of you have faced adversity, right? You know, we're over 40. We've got aging parents. We've got kids. We've got friends. We've got jobs. We've got spouses. And life can come at us pretty fast. And what I admire the most about Kelly is that, one, she's an amazing smile, but two, she was able to take this adversity and just be like, all right, this is a test. Life is testing me and I need to step up and show that I got this. So welcome, Kelly, to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. And you're making me cry. I mean, really, you know, it's unbelievable. And when adversity strikes, I think that's all we can do is just show up. But thank you so much. I really appreciate that introduction. I think.
Well, you know, it's funny. So you said that like all you can do is show up. And I remember the first time when I kind of started to like start to show up in my life. Do you know who Gabrielle Bernstein is?
Of course.
So I remember the first thing she said that like really like made me be like, all right, this chick's got something to say was she goes, you have to show up for what's up.
100%. We just teach ourselves things. And showing up was one of those things I had to actually really dive into.
Yeah. And showing up is hard because, you know, it's sometimes you have to put on a mask, even when before Corona, you have to put on a mask because maybe you're just having a really shitty day and you can't show that. Like Kelly owns a business. And so, you know, when you show up to a business, you can't be like, I'm having a bad day, people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when you have a lot of women's eyes on you, yes, you have to show up and lead by example. And that's really, Kim, what my story is about. I have been through a lot and I don't know where you want to start, how far back, because I have a few different things I could get into.
I want to hit on these all because like right now it's October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, I've first met Kelly, she was, you know, a recent breast cancer survivor. So let's go back to that moment where, you know, I don't know if you found the lump first or someone found it and, you know, you have that, oh, snap.
Yes. So I was in the process of starting a boot camp in my area. I talked to these guys and I said, hey guys, I'd love to get certified. I actually got CrossFit certified at that time, which was over 12 years ago, and they were opening a CrossFit gym. I said, can I run a boot camp instead, not really CrossFit, but really just for women. They said, absolutely. So I rented the space, and right at that time when I was planning and prepping and how am I going to launch this, I got that call because I had found, I was watching TV one night and I found, I scratched my chest and I found someone, it felt like a frozen pea. And I really didn't think anything of it. I just, you know, scratched and called one of my girlfriends the next day and said, this is so strange. I found like a little tiny bump on the top of my breast. And she said, you better go get that checked. Between us and everyone listening, I put it off for 3 months. I really did. It was almost 3 months because I was so focused on what I was going to do for the women in my community in this boot camp that I wasn't worried. Honestly, I wasn't worried. I am very prayerful, so I didn't even think about it. My friend reminded me again, did you get that checked? I said, you know what? I'm going to call. So I made the call. Fast forward, I got the phone call from my doctor, you have cancer. Those words, I mean, I have chills right now again.
Right.
It was unbelievable. Here I was really getting into my fitness, being healthy. So I fought, and I thought I was healthy. I had to reevaluate all that I was eating and my nutrition at that point. But that's another topic we can get into if you want. And I just had to take a step back for a minute. It stopped me in my tracks. I did have my cry, but in the end, I did choose to be strong. I wanted to be going to lead in a fitness program, a boot camp, that I'm going to show up for you going through this or not going through this. I want to be here and let you guys know that if I can do it, you can do it. You know, and I just kind of took that approach. I started radiation treatments and woke up at 4:30, went to my class day after day and showed up for those women. And they watched me through it all. I was tired. I'm not going to lie, of course. I didn't have to have chemo, but I did weeks and weeks of radiation, which, you know, side effect is tiredness and whatever else. And then I had to go on medication and things like that. But I really, really did show up. And I just kept moving forward. And my women to this day just appreciated that. I wanted them to know, again, that if I can do it, they can do it. That was really the bottom line. Because we have diagnosis happen to us every day. Mm. And I did have my cry, and we can stay in bed all day and have that pity party. But where is that really going to get us? I had 2 children, a husband, my parents. I wanted to be strong for them and myself. And just prove that I can get through this and God will take care of me. So that's what I did.
I love that mindset because I think, I know everything comes down to choose. You know, you made the choice that you're like, okay, I have this business and it's all about empowering women. And how could I just lay in bed? Like, I need to show women that, like, you know, yeah, I might be tired, but you might be tired too, just from life, but you have to show up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, I took that very seriously because I didn't want to quit. I could have gave up and said, guys, I'm going to take some time off, but where would that get me? And what good would have came out of that if I stopped the business? I mean, where would I be now? Who knows if my mindset stayed in bed and I never ended up going back to that boot camp. So I didn't want to do that because it was a passion of mine, like you said, to empower women in any way I could. So yes, showing up is the key. It is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love that and admire that because I also, you know, I think when you get those types of diagnoses, it makes you reevaluate like everything in your life.
Exactly. I thought I was pretty good eater, but I really thought low fat, no fat, you know, all over the place. I really had to dive into the nutrition part, which I learned so much about. I ended up becoming a health coach from IIN, which is Integrative Nutrition. I did a whole year of studying nutrition and mindset in the body and the whole 9 yards because I really wanted to learn how to feed my body properly. And I could teach my clients to do the same. So I did. I took that approach. And again, you know, if I just kept challenging myself. And at that point, Kim, is when I think when I met you, yeah. I needed a new challenge at that point and something to just get me to a new level. Because going through the breast cancer, continuing my boot camp, then I was done. And at that point, I said, what can I do next?
Right.
That's where we met. And I jumped into the competition scene with you, which thank God, here we are today.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. People always say, you know, oh, you know, do you regret competing? Or, you know, and I was like, you know what? I do not. I can't think of how many amazing women I've met through competing. And it also forced me to like bust out of my little like bubble to meet people.
I am the same way. I busted out of my bubble because I did it alone. I didn't even tell anybody I was jumping into this until, you know, maybe a month and a half in. And that's exactly what I did. I had to get out of my comfort zone a little bit and meet new women in the competition, you know, in the fitness industry. And it was amazing. I mean, it was a grind. Let's be real. It's hard work, dedication, consistency, crying on some days, feeling deprived on some days. But in the end game, if anybody's listening that is interested in competing, it's an amazing experience because it really taught me how to show up even more for myself because nobody was getting on stage in that bikini except for me. So if I didn't show up in my workouts, eat my food plan that my coach gave me and follow the nutrition guidelines, then, you know, it was over. So that I learned so much about myself and just a great experience meeting everybody I did and the friendships that we still have. So it's fun to do once. I did it four times. So I think yeah. I'm done with competition, but it was an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always tell people like, you know, it's for a lot of people, it's at their bucket list, right? You know, it's something that they have, you know, either seen or they've had a friend do it. And it's definitely something I always say to people like, you know what, do it once. It's not about the trophy. It's just about, can you set a goal and see yourself through that goal?
Right. Exactly. And that's it. It was a journey you take for 12 weeks or 16 weeks. And that's exactly it. You commit to yourself, set the goal, and you finish off what you started. I'm a big believer in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge believer in that. And, you know, that's one of the kind of like the forefronts of Kelly also has an amazing podcast. It's called Addicted to the Climb. And that's, you know, kind of the message of it is that, you know, we all have something bigger than us pulling us towards something, you know, so that something can be anything, right? It could be a spiritual thing. It could be, you know, an empowerment thing. It could be anything that's pulling you that you don't even, you're like, I don't even know how to stop. Like, there's just something that is just like, has a gravitational pull to make me do this.
I agree. And, you know, it teaches you discipline. I think discipline is another key word that I use all the time. You know, you have to be disciplined enough with yourself and what you do daily that, you know, at the end of the day, you have to go to bed knowing, did I accomplish what I set out to do or did I give up? Where can I be better? Because I believe in being 1% better than you were each day.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, I think that's one of the things I feel that why people showed up at your boot camps. Because, you know, we've all been to those classes where, you know, they just want to beat the crap out of you. You know, like if you can't like lift your hands to wash your hair, then that wasn't a good boot camp. But you were all about the empowerment that, you know what, maybe today you're not lifting a certain weight. Maybe today your squat isn't as deep, but it's going to get there.
And I really, truly believe I believed in women and I always wanted them just to feel at home with me and comfortable. They're intimidated. A lot of my clients tell me, and they are, and they're intimidated to show up to a class that they've never been to. So for me as a coach, I really wanted to know my client and I had passion and compassion for her and just start where she's at. Yes. I believe that we all just have to start our fitness journey where we're at right now in the present moment. We can't look at the girl next to us that's lifting a barbell and two plates on it and say, wow, I want to, you know, do that tomorrow. Well, guess what? You have to start with the 5-pound dumbbells, start where you're at. So I really brought myself, you know, to each woman's level that they're on in that moment and made them feel comfortable and, you know, starting out with push-ups on the knees or whatever they could do to have them want to come back, because it's all about building up their self-esteem, getting right. them happy from the inside out, helping them change their mindset around fitness.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that. I 110% agree. I think that once you kind of say like you conquer that push-ups on your knees to push-ups on your toes, you know, I think that like the shift that you see in that woman who's like, holy crap, if I could go from knees to toes, what else can I do?
Exactly. And I would see the, oh my gosh, their faces and the excitement, and then they would be motivated to want to come back.
Mm.
I teach, when I coach my women and I coach my clients, it's, they say, Kelly, their question is always, well, I'm not motivated. How do I get motivated? You get motivated by building momentum and yes. doing things every single day. When you start to see those results, you build momentum, you want to go back, that's going to motivate you. Hitting that first little milestone, whether it is getting off the knees for one push-up, that's going to motivate you to want to do it again. I see it in my child. I have a 14-year-old boy that, you know, he's starting to work out and he gets frustrated and he doesn't feel motivated, but when I see him conquer a few push-ups, he's like, Mom, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And he gets excited about it. And I think that's, you know, that's where the motivation comes in. And that's what keeps him coming back.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, you hit the nail on the head about the 1%. And I think where, you know, people want this, like, you know, think that motivation is this thing that just like, you know, knocks on your door and drags you out of bed. Sorry, it doesn't. Because if it did, I would own stock in it. But I feel like what you just said is that motivation of saying, you know what, today I'm going to try to lift 2 pounds heavier, or today I'm going to go 5 more minutes on the treadmill, or, you know, maybe you're going to increase the incline, or you're going to increase the speed, or, you know, one little thing just to show you I can do it versus, you know, showing up and being like, today's the day I'm going to run a marathon and you just got off the couch.
I think you just said something is those words, I can do it. Listen, if somebody went ahead and completed something or accomplished something or achieved something that you're looking to do, it's already been done. That's what you have to say to yourself. If they can do it, I certainly can. Unless you have, you know, some kind of limitation. But if you're healthy enough, that belief in yourself, and get up and say, I can do this. I'm going to show myself. I'm going to prove it to myself. Because listen, it's all about ourselves. Nobody else cares, really.
Yeah.
We care more about ourselves and our and no one's looking at us.
Oh my God, you nailed it on the head. You know, back in the day when you could teach classes in person, I remember there would always be, you know, those people who are always like looking around the room and, you know, is anyone looking at me doing something like wrong? And I would always say on the microphone, I'm like, hey, for my new folks, no one's looking at you. We only care if you have a heart attack. Then the whole class stops.
Right. Exactly. I mean, hey, this is where we're at today. That's why we're all home working out from our, you know, bedrooms to our family rooms. And it's all about the belief in yourself that you can get to the next level if you put the work in and you trust that you will do this. I mean, it's all about self-belief, especially and fitness. You have to believe in yourself that you can get to where you want to go. You have to put the work in. There's no way else to accomplish anything without you showing up, being disciplined enough, and putting the work in.
125%. And so, you know, so here you are, you know, you've had your own battle with cancer. You know, your parents have, or your biggest cheerleaders, like your biggest supporter. I remember seeing them at shows and they were so cute. They're just so cute. And so now your dad gets the call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're like, crap. And then your mom.
So my dad was in my eyes, in most people that know my dad, one of the healthiest men I've ever met. I mean, he started running and running marathons when he was 17 years old, and he's still running today. He's 71, almost 71. He runs every single day. He just was a very disciplined person. He took care of himself. He never was sick, never took an aspirin in my whole life. And then we got, and then we got the call that my dad had a rare blood cancer. I mean, again, life stopped. It was so traumatic because the diagnosis was with this cancer, they had to wipe his whole immune system out, give him a stem cell transplant, and be in isolation for a year. So I'm an only child, having, you know, being extremely close to my parents. Of course, I put things aside to care and help them, because in the meantime, my mom had rheumatoid arthritis. She really wasn't any help. She did her best, but I knew I had to step in and really take care of my dad. So we started the process. We were at Dana-Farber in Boston, and in great hands. My dad went in, and he was going to be in the hospital a month. He ended up getting out in 3 weeks because he was doing so unbelievable. We got home, got him home, started the isolation. 3 weeks into his recovery, my mom instantly passed, my very best friend in the world. I mean, talk about a life-changing experience. My cancer didn't even compare to losing my mom. Life actually stopped for me. And we talked before this interview, you know, before we went live, that I was under a blanket. I stayed under a blanket because I really didn't know how to deal with it. This was so unexpected. I mean, yes, she had rheumatoid, but death was just not in the cards. And if anybody was supposed to die, we were nervous of my dad because, right, my, you know, had this cancer, and we didn't know how he was going to, his body would adapt to the stem cells, the cells from another human being in Germany. So, you know, having gone through all that, I mean, that was a rock bottom for me. And again, you know, Kim, at that point, I was in bed maybe 2 months. I still showed up for my boot camp because I had to, but I'd go in the bathroom and take 5 minute cry breaks. I cried the whole way to the class. The minute the class ended, I cried walking out. It was just horrific to think back. My mom's been gone 3 years now, which is crazy. And my dad is thriving in his health life, which is a miracle of God. But what got me out again of that place was, what am I doing? I had to really stop. And I had to, the change came when I said, what am I doing? How do I want to live my life without my mom? I had to adapt to this new normal of living. But I knew there was more for me. And I really just got up each day, put my clothes on, washed my face, and really just started praying more, journaling. And that was the beginning for me to, again, be an example to women that when we go through tragic things, we have to always just get back up on our feet. We can't stay there because, again, where would that get me? I had too many women that I wanted to help in life and coach them. And I wanted to be that example. I guess that's the bottom line. I really did. I wanted to show them again that I'm a breast cancer survivor. I just went through this. You know, we all go through death, but life is going to keep going, whether we keep going with it or we stay under those sheets. And I didn't want to do that. So I dove into my fitness again. And I think for me, fitness and health is, it's cleansing for me. Taking that 30 minutes to myself a day and doing my workouts, it made me stronger in my mind, body, and soul. So, yeah.
You know, you said a lot of really amazing things, you know, because I think many of us, we think our parents are indestructible, right? We know that they're going to, you know, die eventually, but like in your mind, you're like, you know, years and years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And
because my dad was so sick.
Right. And so you were so prepped for your dad. You're like, hey, you know, it's blood cancer. Like, it's through his whole body. Like, it's not like an organ.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and so you're just kind of like, you know, as they say, life threw you a plot twist. You're like, my mom just had arthritis. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Arthritis is a survivable thing.
Exactly. And that's honestly where that was the beginning of my addicted to the climb theme in my life. Because there were a few other things I went through. You know, when my second child was born, he has what's called hydrocephalus and he's blind in one eye to this day. I was living in Children's Hospital for a month. So all these things have made me stronger. And I'm not telling you that because I don't want anyone having a pity party, you know, being sad for me, but they have made me stronger. And I've realized over time that I'm really addicted to the climb in life. I'm not going down without a fight. And I want to prove that other women can do this. Other men can do this. I mean, I'm not the only one that has been through these things and I'm not the last to go through it. And people have gone through worse, but I really just challenge people to just stay on that climb. Don't give up on yourself. Do something different. Challenge yourself to get out of, you know, that space you're in. If it's a negative space you're in and you're feeling dragged down, you know, jump into fitness. Listen, health and fitness is the key to life. Without our health, we have nothing. So why are you choosing the junk to put in your body? You're here for one little piece of time and take advantage. If you're healthy enough to go to the market and buy good groceries, fuel your body in the right way. I'm telling you, you'll be in a better headspace. Your physical body will be in a better place. And what more do we need? Right, Kim?
Yeah. So as you were saying that, you know, I think the two things that people always underrate is that taking care of your health is pretty free, right? I'm not saying you got to go join a gym. You know, we're saying it's something as simple as a walk, right? You know, all it takes is a pair of shoes. You don't even need to have special sneakers. You don't even have the special clothes. Just go out and get a walk. Because I know that, you know, for me, whenever I have a lot of stuff on my brain, something about being out and moving my body and walking, it just helps shift my perspective.
Oh, I can't agree with you more. I mean, even like you said, all you need is a pair of sneakers. Go outside, take a walk. You don't have to be overwhelmed that you have to grab some weights. You don't need that. And I think that's what most people, that's why they avoid the whole exercise and workout thing because, oh, I don't have time. It's a big hassle. I don't have weights. Go outside and take a walk. Turn that walk in a month into a 30-second jog, then a walk. You can add to
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Or you can continue to walk. Like, you know, one of my clients, she drinks a lot of wine and that's her way to unwind after work. And I said, this is what I want you to try. I said, before you even get that glass of wine, go in, put on a pair of sneakers and just walk around the block, right? Just find a way to shift your thinking and just kind of like decompress from the day. Cause it's really easy. You know, I know what it's like. If you had like a real shit day and you're driving home and all you're thinking about, you're ruminating the things you coulda, woulda, shoulda, and you get home and that glass of wine is just like, oh, but instead of that wine, the walk, right? You can still like just decompress, but instead of using alcohol or food, you're using exercise as a way to help you just kind of get back into your body and out of your head.
Exactly. And I love that you said that because I also have I do a lot of accountability coaching and my clients also love to drink wine and the whole COVID and the isolation that we were in, you know, for those really, the 12 weeks was really tight and we're drinking a lot of wine and we tried to work on that as well and shift it. Like you said, that word shift, you don't have to grab the glass of wine. Instead, hold a plank, do something different because it's all about the daily patterns that you are creating that lead to these habits. I bet those women that are drinking the wine, their brain doesn't even think about it anymore.
No.
It's a habit they've created, they automatically, after work, reach for the glass. It takes a big mind shift in real thoughts that you have to have that I'm not going to reach for it today. I'm going to do it different this time. I'm going to see how for 2 days. Let's not go for the wine. Let's hold a plank, you know, in front of my TV and distract myself. So it does. It takes a mindset shift to break these patterns, but it can be done.
And, you know, if we kind of loop it back to you, it's that, you know, all of these things have happened. And you're, instead of saying, okay, I'm gonna let this take me out, you are like, okay, if I let this take me out, how am I showing up to my clients? How am I showing up to my kids, to my husband? You know, you weren't saying, you weren't choosing to be the victim. You were choosing like, okay, this is happening. And so I need to step up and figure out how do I work this into my life versus, I'm a speed bump now. And that's just how it is. That's life. Poor me.
You know what? I have an amazing quote I want to share. It's
all about quotes.
It's, oh my gosh, it's life changing. Ready? It was from a pastor and she said, don't allow a season to become a life sentence. Ooh. I have chills even saying it out loud because that's what it was for me. All these things are a season in your life. They're not going to last forever. The pain does go away with time. No matter what, it's just life. It's the cycle of life. But if you allow that season to trickle into a lifetime, which I have seen with my eyes, numerous people still carrying the burdens, still complaining, you cannot allow that. You cannot allow that season to become a life sentence. And I say, write it down, because when you know, things are going to happen to people, we know that we're not exempt from, you know, rough adversity striking. So if you have that quote and you put it somewhere, you can't allow it to just take over for the rest of your life. You have to be, you're an overcomer. We all are overcomers. We have to just take that first step. Even if it's that little tiny baby step, then it leads into the next step. And then, you know, you break out of that cycle. So I love that quote. I mean, it really resonated with me in so many ways.
I love that quote too, because it's, you know, I always talk to people about what season of life are you in? And, you know, we all have, you know, right now you're a mom, you got kids. So right now you're in that season of trying to like get everyone's schedules organized and make sure they're all in the right place. And that's disruptive for a few weeks until you figure out, okay, what everyone gets into the calmness of this is what school season is like. And then, you know, we get another disruption in summertime, but it's like, you don't let that spill over to like years and years and years. It's like, it's a bump in the road.
Exactly. And I'm so excited because this is a new season for us being in New England. I love the changing of the seasons. So, you know, fall is the new season and it's just, for me, it's what am I going to do this season? You know, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do through the winter. What am I going to do right now over the next couple months? Because I believe if we don't challenge ourselves, it's another quote, but if we don't challenge ourselves, then we don't see change. So right now, everyone listening, you need to think about what can you do different? What's something that you can add into your routine? Something that's going to challenge you. So I love the changing of the seasons and just setting a new goal. It's so exciting to me.
You know, it's funny that you said that. I kind of like that thought process of, you know, every season is, you know, you kind of take a little inventory of like, all right, where am I? And what could be possible for me in the next 90 days?
Can I present for myself? That's how I look at it. And
yeah,
we have to create that. We have to create that opportunity for ourselves.
And it goes back to what you said at the very beginning, or maybe halfway through, about momentum, right? It's like, that's how I continue the momentum. Because if I say to myself, I'm going to run a marathon by the end of the month, and I haven't run, I'm really frustrated. because I was like, I haven't hit 26 miles. But if I told myself maybe in 90 days I could run a marathon, I would feel, and I was, you know, taking the steps towards it, I would feel a little bit more motivated than if I told myself, you know, I bit off more than I could chew and, you know, told myself, you know, in the next 30 days, I'm going to run a marathon.
Well, that's the thing. You can't set yourself up to fail. You have to set a realistic goal, something, you know, that goes back to set up some kind of challenge for yourself that in the back of your head, you know, you 90% can achieve this. Because I think if you set your standards too high, like you said, if I'm going to say I'm going to run a marathon and you're not a runner, well, you're setting yourself up to fail. So, and then you're not going to go back to it. It's over. So I think just setting a realistic, something that you can accomplish, maybe you have to break it down into each week. I'm a weekly person.
Yeah.
I don't know how you are, Kim, with your goals, but I need to say, what am I going to do this week? And, you know, whether it's setting, I'm going to work out four times, it can be basic. It can be, I'm going to drink this amount of water in a day. I'm going to eat, you know, my greens. So I try to do that weekly. And then when that week's over, I do it again, something different for the next week. And that's how it works great.
Yeah, I'm 100% a weekly. It's what you said. It when I used to like set 90-day goals and I said, oh, I'm going to run a marathon in 90 days. And, you know, 26 miles at the beginning of 90 days seems so far. But if I said to myself, okay, by the end of this week, I'm going to run this amount of miles, it made me feel like, okay, I am taking the steps that I need to get towards there. And it gave me the motivation to keep going, going, and going, and going.
I love it. Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. And so, you know, for you, the thing I love this conversation so much is that, you know, like, you know, shit happened to you and you're like, okay, some of it knocked you out for a little bit, but at some point you're like, you know what? As you said, your quote, like, I can't let this season be my life. And so you just were like, okay, what is that small thing I can do? And for you, that small thing was, well, I got to show up for my ladies. Right. So it's like, you know, anyone listening, ask yourself the question, what's one thing you can show up for? And it might be something really small. Maybe you go to church every Sunday. Maybe that's the one thing you're like, I'm showing up for church. Or maybe it's your kids play a sport and you're like, I'm just going to show up for their games. And pick something that's easy for you to show up to. And, you know, let's see how it builds from there.
Exactly. And another thing I always say is, you know, for me, I had to stop blaming and stop complaining, because I was blaming, you know, other people and complaining all the time. And I found myself, this is after my mom passed, I really was. I was blaming everything and anything and not looking at myself and saying, okay, well, I need to take charge of myself and what I can do to get myself out of this. So I think even in your health and fitness life, or, you know, a relationship, like you said, it can be in any area. There comes a time when you have to stop blaming others around you. Stop blaming you have to do the laundry. Stop blaming the dishes aren't done. What do you really want? What are you looking for? And stop complaining about it, that you don't have time or you're too busy. And I hear them, oh, I'm so busy. Well, you have time to work out. Guess what? I make time to work out. We're all busy. We all have the same 24 hours. We have to stop blaming other things, other people. And again, just taking charge of what we really want. Because I see so many people that, you know, they're in the same place they are today than they were 1 year ago today. And they say the same things over and over. I really want to get healthy. I have this weight to lose. And, you know, at what point are you going to take the action steps that I've taken personally? I mean, I've been there. I know what it's like to be at rock bottom. I know what it's like. I might not know what it's like to have 100 extra pounds on me, but I know what it's like to have an extra 15 pounds on me and feeling miserable and having to feel like I'm at the bottom of that mountain and I got to start climbing. So I'm a little hardcore when it comes to that, because I am about, it's all about the excuses.
Yes.
You're either an excuse maker, or you're going to put the work in to get where you really want to be, or else stop talking about it. right?
Oh my God. That is exactly what I tell people. Like, there's, you know, you get the same messages that I get on Facebook or Instagram. And someone's like, oh my gosh, you know, Kim, everything you say is just totally me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, great. I'm like, let's have a conversation. Let's take it to the next step so you get out of this place. Crickets. And you're like, and then, you know, a few months later, oh my God, Kim, you are so right. Great. Let's move forward. And you're just like, you know what? You chose that you're going to be stuck in this hole.
And even when they are stuck, I say, you know, I don't get really excited about having a green smoothie every day. Not necessarily.
Right.
Some days I do, but other days I just make it because it's going to get me where I want to be in my physical body. So these are the things you have to start telling yourself. You might not love, you know, grilling chicken or having a nice piece of white fish, but guess what? It's going to get you where you need to be. So sometimes you just have to do the thing that's hard. So you can, and it's showing yourself and proving to yourself that you can do it. So if you want to stay stuck, stay stuck. Or take the action steps that Kim gives you, that I give you as coaches, because we know the process. We know what it takes to feel better. And if you don't take that action, no one takes it for you.
125%. And, you know, we're not saying this to complain. We're saying this because both Kelly and I are both very passionate about what we do. And for both of us, we see, we're like, you know what? Like, we see the greatness in our clients. Like, I know what it's like to see people struggle. And I know what it's like for me to struggle. And all it took is just for me to find like one person who just got me and said, I can help you. That I was like, thank you. I'm not like, you know, swimming upstream by myself anymore.
Exactly. I think it's super important to have, you know, someone to hold your hand in the beginning. Listen, we know we're not being so harsh, but we have to speak the truth or else we wouldn't be good coaches, right?
Right.
And I really need people to know that it's not that we're being harsh, but we've been in your shoes. Just like I said, I know what it's like to have to lose weight when my jeans don't fit and I'm upset. And, you know, I was a yo-yo dieter for years. I mean, I gained the same amount of weight, lost the same amount of weight back and forth. I mean, it was a struggle. So I know what it's like to be completely exhausted with myself and my weight and my body and how I felt. But until you get a grip and be real with yourself, I tell people a lot to just sit quietly. And sometimes we're so busy that we don't have time to be alone with ourselves to say, what do I really want? And I think you and I have had this conversation, maybe even when you were on my podcast, that we have to sit quietly and ask ourselves, is it really skinny that we want to be? Or is it really just to feel better? Do we want to walk up a flight of stairs and not feel out of breath? I mean, what is it that you truly want? And start with that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's all about clarity, you know, and, you know, when life came at Kelly fast, she was clear that she's like, I want to show up the best I can to be an example. And if you don't have that, you know, you could be an example to anyone. You could be an example to your spouse, your kids, your dog, you know, people that you work with. You know, anyone could be an example because we never know who's watching.
I know. And it's, and that's the thing. And I think when it comes to being an example is at the end of the day, it's you and you, you know, it really is. It's you and you alone laying your head down at night and, you know, celebrating your wins, your losses, what you can do better. And that's all it comes down to. So, you know, be an example to yourself, if not your family. I highly agree with that.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Kelly, for being on. I just, you know, it's a conversation I've wanted to have with you for a long time. And now I'm sharing this with the world. And I have one question that I ask all of my guests. What makes you feel magical?
What makes me feel, well, first of all, thank you for having me. What makes me feel magical is really trying to let women see themselves as God sees them. Mm. If I had anything I could do in this life, my passion is to really, my magic potion would be to just really, when they look at themselves in the mirror, let them see themselves as beautiful and wonderful and capable of all things.
Mm, I love it. I absolutely love. I love the capable. That's just powerful. Oh, thank you so much for this conversation, Kelly. I'm so excited. I can't wait for others to listen to this and just take away some of every time I'm on a podcast, I take notes, and I've just got so many pieces of wisdom here that I hope others have taken as much notes as I have.
I'm so happy that we did this, and I hope, you know, your listeners loved it. So thank you so much for inviting me.
And where can people find you on the socials?
You can find me I'm on Facebook a lot. I do a lot of Facebook Lives. So it's just Kelly Tyon. My Instagram, I'm on Instagram a lot as well. And it's, again, Kelly Tyon. My name is KelleyTyan. And my website is just KellyTyon.com. And of course, Addicted to the Climb. My podcast is on Spotify and iTunes and Google Play.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you guys, make sure you're listening to it, because I binged her podcast. So make sure you listen to her podcast. It is absolutely amazing. Thank you again, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.